Blog Talk Radio.
I can remember stories, those things my mother said.
Shalom, everyone. This is Yaina. Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. Hey, everybody. I'm glad you decided to join us on this wonderful occasion, this first day of the week, because this is a very, very special show. And it's going to probably cause some controversy, but whatever. I'm at the point now where whatever. I mean, for real. I hate to be like that, but it is what it is. You know, I have invited a few people to come on this call, both male and female. In the nation of Yehuda, we have both male and female. And it's time to address some issues today. I mean, it just really is. Now, whether our voice means something in our nation or whatever, we just going to put it out there. You know, because it's turning into something else. This thing is turning into something that's really not Yah. I mean, it really is. It's turning into something that is not the Most High. You know, and we've tried to be, you know, very diplomatic with our approach and how we come at the matter. But this thing right here is evolving into something that is looking really evil. And we don't have to deal with it today. We just all going to have to deal with it. You know, I know, you know, like I said, we definitely are a group of people that we work together. We reason together. We talk together. And we have, you know, honest dialogue. I mean, it's real honest. No matter what, you know, the scriptures say, you know, and all of that, and all of the things that the scriptures say, we believe the scriptures. We do. All of them. One thing about it over here, we put it in context. We read it like it is, and we do what it say. So I want to put that out there for sure. I just want to say hello to everyone that's here. This is one of those shows where you call, invite your family members, and you know, from Christianity to Hebrew Israelite, we invite everybody to join us today. I hope we don't have to go into overtime, but if we do, we do, because these are some things that we're going to have to deal with. excuse me. I've been in this thing for a while. I have. I've watched a lot of changes. I've watched the growth of the nation. I've watched people come together from all walks of life. I've watched some groups grow larger than other groups. I've watched a lot of different things. let me say this from the beginning. For me, when I was becoming awake, I came out of Christianity. I came out of the Pentecostal Holiness Church. I did. Baptized in Jesus' name, filled up with the tongue, talking Holy Ghost. Some very influential bishops I was under. Learned the Bible at a young age when I was, I say, 13, 14 years old. Started reading the Bible. came over here. Grew up in the church, saw the changes that the church was going through, didn't like what I saw. I also went from denominational church to the non-denominational church and felt like there was a difference because there was not a lot of legalism. I see you, area code 405. Not a lot of legalism. You know, just want to say that when I was awake and I saw, you know, the black men on the street corner with the Bible, I thought it was an amazing thing. I did. I'd never seen that before. I'd never seen other than Jehovah's Witnesses and Muslims on the street corners. I had never seen anyone speaking directly from the Bible about the Messiah and Christ. I've never seen that before. I think it was a beautiful thing. So this show is going to be a little different because as I have begun to watch this stuff, this stuff is evolving into something that is really not the Most High. And I know, let me say this, the enemy has infiltrated his children in with us. They look like us. They sound like us. They know the scriptures like we do. And when you watch it, what is happening is they're trying to evolve, take this thing in a direction that I don't believe the Most High wants it to go. I'm just really very disappointed. Now, I'm going to say this, and this is to the sisters. All the sisters that's in Israel, I want to say something to you, sisters. We love you. We love you. We want to see you be the best females you can be in this nation. We do. We cannot make your choices for you because you have to make your own choices. But let me say this to you. Yah loves you. Yah loves you, and he wants the best for you. He wants you to walk a certain way and be the best person that you can be. Now, that has nothing to do with who you marry and who you be with. This thing is turned into, you can't talk unless I teach you. And you can't say nothing. You got to believe what I believe. No, that's not what the scriptures say. The scriptures say, save yourself from this untoward generation. You got to be able to take that advice, because that was advice that was given. You have to be able to take that advice and be able to look out for yourself. Now, that's a problem over here in Israel, because over here in Israel, we're dealing with some serious issues. But I want the sisters to know out there that the Most High loves you. Don't be conned. Don't be scared. Don't be manipulated. Don't be coerced into doing anything until you go to the Most High Yah. Because I done seen a lot. I'm telling y'all, I done seen a whole lot. These people come. These women are looking for companionship. They looking for men. They're looking for somebody to love them. The same thing that we were talking about last week. You know, that women are looking, well, in the women's call, most women are looking for love. You know, don't get fooled with what you're seeing out here. I'm just telling you, right, don't get fooled by what you're seeing out here in these streets. Because this has gotten serious now. So I just want to put that out there, because I know we got some brothers on the line. Do not be fooled or deceived. You know, they have an old saying in the street, the game don't change, just the players. Well, that's true to life. The only difference is now they're going by Hebrew names. They're going straight by Hebrew names, and they're using the scriptures to manipulate you into living a certain way, into looking a certain way, and into acting a certain way. Just letting you know, these are wolves in sheep clothing. And all this stuff about women can't talk, I don't know where that came from, but we're going to put a stop to that today. We're going to prove that you can go into all the Old Testament scriptures you want to. And I'm all for the Old Testament. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for it. But all of this stuff about women are not supposed to say nothing. Women are not a part of this new movement. Women are not supposed that we gonna have, that's going that is not Yah. Because the Holy Spirit is a female. And anybody that wanna challenge me on that, please push one. She is a female. That Ruach is a female spirit. So we have the ultimate female energy that's leading and guiding this whole nation, this whole world. So I'm really, really fed up with the way this stuff is going. This has got to stop. You know, we can't tell you what to do. I'm not telling nobody to leave their husbands. I'm not telling you none of that. All I'm telling you to do is when this stuff seems like it's getting out of control and weird, and you seem like you're being controlled, you need to go before the Most High. You really do. You have to go before Yah. You do. Because some women are being treated like children. I'm the head of the house. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that at all whatsoever. The only problem I have is that you have to understand that what that means. That doesn't mean that you're the father and I'm the child, because we're two adults. And everybody makes a choice as to where they want to be. We're not slaves. We have not been bought. And we don't. You don't have a right to control what we do. And like you're the father, you got to call me Lord. Okay. Like I said, this is getting ridiculous. Everybody's grown. And you know, this is something, like I told you guys, you women need to start coming to the women's call. You need to start coming to the women's call, because one thing about it, we're going to deal with a lot of things today. And I hope that the brothers, because I mean no disrespect to the brothers that's on this line. I do not. I love all of the men that are part of the nation of Yehuda, because they are real men. They take care of their families, and they treat their women with respect. But this other stuff we're seeing out here, and I'm not talking about all of you. So don't get upset with y'all. I'm not talking about all of you, but I'm talking about the wolves that have crept in unaware. Them, that spirit, that's just, it's got to stop. It really is just got to stop. So before I go into my lesson, we have area code 405. Who has pushed one, and I'm going to open up the mic before I go into to what we have to talk about. Area code 405, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I really wasn't trying to push that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I'll put you back on there. So I want to play a clip for you, and this has gone viral. And not to give this man any credit at all whatsoever, because I don't. I really don't. I watched him from the beginning, and I really don't give him any credit, any credence, anything. I don't care. You know, I'm not the one to look and be like, wow, you got all that money and all that prestige and all that this and all that, and wow. No. Because I know in order to get that, you done did some stuff. You have pledged some things to some people. You throw up the same hand signals everybody else throw up. And no. But the fact that this man had the audacity to say the things that what I'm getting ready to play for you that he said, I had to bring this out today. Now, when I first saw this video, it hadn't gone viral. But it has gone viral now, to the point where, you know, it's controversy on both sides of the men and the women. Now, the reason why this is going to be so different is because I don't deal with the Hebrew Israelites that don't know they Hebrew Israelites. I don't deal with their mentality and the way that they think, unless it spills over here. And the things that is coming out of the mouths of the men today, and I'm talking about our men, it's appalling, it's insulting, it's degrading. I mean, and all of the other adjectives that I can think of to come up with, it is just, it's terrible that this is what's happening to our men about their women of their own nation. But guess what? We know why. We know why, but we're going to deal with why today. Now, they may not know why over there, because they still under the whole Jesus banner. You know, it's going to be all right in the by and by. Everything is wonderful. And they're taking the scriptures that were given to us and that were written thousands of years ago, and they're trying to apply it to a system where it is not going to fit. And you know, no matter what you can apply it to a certain point, but after a while it's not going to fit. So we already know what that is. But the fact that this is a sentiment that I've noticed that have come across with all of our men, I mean even the Hebrew Israelite brothers, it's like, wait a minute, hold on. That we have to deal with this today. So I'm going to play this. This is only 2 minutes and 33 seconds long. But I just, you know, I want you to listen to everything that he says. And I really am going to really, 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 really need for you guys to give some feedback. I mean, from the brothers and the sisters that's on this line today. Because I've seen a lot of things. I really have. I've seen young women get manipulated and having sex. I mean, I was telling one of the sisters yesterday that, you know, we used to be in contact with some of the people that were over in Demona, you know, and it, older brothers, you know, some of the older brothers, and they was getting some things situated and trying to get it where we could come over there under a visa and work and all that. And one of the brothers particularly said something to me. He was like, wow, you know, I can really use, I mean, I would like to have a couple more wives. You know, I could use a couple of more. And he said, well, you have any daughters? I mean, he looked completely over me and said, do you have any daughters? I said, yeah, I have two younger daughters. Well, you know, I would really be able to, I can probably afford one more daughter. I said, what makes you think that my young daughters want to be dealing with your old behind? I mean, what is it that makes you think that they want you? First of all, let's start there. I said, I wouldn't even condone you to deal with my children. Those are my children. And I wouldn't even condone, it would be no way. He was older than me. So I'm saying all this to let you guys know, watch your children. I don't care how they, whether they're of age or not. We have to begin to teach our children what we are dealing with over here. Couple of other incidents. Couple of women that I knew that were Israelite women met people on Facebook. Facebook. They taking the phone. Now, these brothers got so crucial. They taking the phone on Facebook or they tablet and going around showing them all that this is my house and this is my stuff and I come from this big, I'm running a big camp and I have these many people and you, I mean, just complete manipulation and lying. In the name of Yah, I've seen women pack up their children, quit their jobs, leave their families to go off on a fairy tale on some words that a man has told them out of their mouth. But you know what happened? Once he has sex with you, he throw you off. They come back with their head tucked down, kids. This is all in the name of Yah. They got a rotating door in their house. And guess what? They marry all of them in the living room in front of somebody. Before Yah. In the living room. In front of somebody. I've seen it happen too many times. And the women go off with they sad, they broken hearted because they believe in the stuff that come out of these people. Look, and this is for the men too. I'm dealing with the women today, but we're gonna definitely deal with the men and their issues too because it cuts both ways. It does. But in this society today, with all this, man, listen, they come home with nothing. And let me say something to you women: a pair of lips will say anything to get what they want. They will. And anytime somebody got to lie to you to get you to do something, or because guess what? Omission, when you omit something, that's still a lie. When you don't tell it all and you leave some stuff out, that's still a lie. All of the, if you have to be lied to in order to coerce you somewhere and it's not open above, that's not Yah. It's not. It's not. I just don't see y'all brothers. Y'all brothers need to talk. Y'all brothers need to speak up today. I'm serious because the women need to hear it from you. They need to because they are being, you just wouldn't believe some of the stuff that's going on. Young girls. I'm talking about young girls and old men. It's a shame. And you know what it's doing? It is deliberately showing the world that what we're over here doing is making it look like it's a joke. I'm talking about wolves in sheep clothing. I'm really talking about wolves in sheep's clothing. That one girl sold everything she had and left. Another girl did it, and when she got down there, all of it was a lie. When she got to where she was going, all of it was a lie. You know what he did? He tried to get her out on a street corner selling her body. All of it was a lie. Just manipulating and controlling these women. I done seen it too much. And it's all about sex. That's all it's about. Once they get that, they gone. They don't want to deal with you no more. They are you going to be a number five of the wives that he got up in his house. Or he'll tell you afterwards, you know, we can have, I want more than one wife. That's not, you know, all that. We ain't even going to deal with that issue. I'm not even going to deal on that today because that's a whole nother show all by itself. Wolves in sheep's clothing. The only difference is they just changed their name. They just changed their name. But let's deal with the ones that are still dealing in the English language. Let's deal with the ones that still believe they Gentiles. Let's listen to what this man has to say, and then I'll be back to answer to open up the mics. I just want you to check this out. All right, here we go.
If Adam had not allowed Eve to pour into him, sin would have never come into the world. Sin came into the world because Adam broke the order. We were not designed to receive from women.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. Back it up, because we ain't dealing with your bull crap today. Hold up. What you mean you weren't designed to receive from women? The Holy Spirit is a female. I'm gonna try my best to be calm, because see, the first thing they're gonna say is, see, that's what I'm talking about. Listen to how aggressive you are. Listen to how strong-willed the black woman is. I'm gonna try to calm down. And I'm gonna take a deep breath. And I'm gonna let it finish. I'm not gonna touch it until we get to a certain part. Here we go.
Your self-esteem is compromised when you have to ask your wife for lunch money. I'm not saying you gotta be rich. I'm not saying you gotta be famous. I'm saying that you have got to be the one who pours in, not the one who takes out. When Adam started eating out of his wife's hand, sin came in because the divine order was broken. This breaks all sociological order of the culture we're living in now. Because we are raising up women to be men. And you are not applauded for your femininity. You are applauded in the contemporary society by how tough, rough, nasty, mean, aggressive, hateful, possessive you are, and you are climbing the corporate ladder, but we are losing our families.
Did you hear him? Did you hear the insults? Did you hear the insults that came from this man's mouth? I got to go back again. I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention. You got to pay attention to, oh, here we go. Let's check it out. Here we go.
You are applauded in the contemporary society by how tough, rough, nasty, mean, aggressive, hateful, possessive you are, and you are climbing the corporate ladder, but we are losing our families. I know you can buy your own car. I know you can buy your own house. But until you create a need that I can pour into, I have no place in your life. So stop coming home bragging to me about how much you don't need me and wonder why I shy away.
What black woman do you know that does that? What black woman do you know comes home and says, baby, I really don't need you for real? I mean, unless I've been living in the dark ages somewhere, let me keep going.
Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk back to me this morning. The conversation has become, let's prove to the men how dispensable they are. And it is born out of pain because we hurt you and betrayed you and lied to you and cheated to you. And you became like you became out of pain.
Wonder what that means. So he said, we've made you the way you are, and we've turned you into men. Because you've been hurt. Oh, I just got to. I've been waiting all week to do this. I really got to. Ooh, this is interesting. I'm telling you. Go ahead.
Oh, Lord. I told you they wasn't going to like this, Jesus.
Now, let's stop. I'm glad we got. Jesus is the one that told him to say the things that he's saying today. Jesus told him to say that. It was Jesus that told you to give that information to the congregation. Yeah, right. The Holy Spirit told you, the female Ruach told you to tell this to the congregation.
If Adam,
okay, now I'm gonna open up the screen. I want everybody to have to push one. I know 717 has been there for a minute. I'm gonna open up your mic. Your mic is open. 717, go ahead. You on the air? Area code 717. All right, we're going to put you, you have to unmute your phone if you're going to say something. All right, I'm going to put you back on mute, and I'll come back to you. Area code 330, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Hey, sister.
Shalom.
Shalom. So please tell me that's not T.D. Jakes.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. So I just wanted to tell you one little story I had. So I told you before my mom was in hospice and she passed away, right?
Yes.
So there was an aide that took care of her very well, and she was like 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she came to me and she tried to push up on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm 29 years your senior. I have daughters older than you. You can't do this. You know, I say I appreciate you taking care of my mom, but see, it's not always the men. It's not always the men. And let me tell you, I was really flattered, but, you know, that's too far distant. That's just much too far distant. So, you know, I just went about it that way. But I'm just saying it's not always the men, but, you know, the voice that you played, I was like, please tell me that's not him. So
yes,
I don't agree. Yeah, I know you said. But I don't agree with him because God put Adam to sleep and took a rib to make Eve, to give him a companion. I don't get that part of it, but I just wanted to say that, and, you know, I'll just keep listening.
You know what? I'm going to say this to you. I appreciate you being honest, and I appreciate you handling yourself like you did with that young woman, because a whole lot of brothers over here wouldn't have did that. I'm just going to be honest with you. They wouldn't have did that. It's a whole lot of, listen, the problem is, this is what the problem is, and I'm going to say this. I'm just going to be real honest with you all. This is what the problem is, and we know where the problem stems. You know, we are living in the land of our captivity. We are. We're living in the land of our captivity. we know where we are and we know why we're here. I want to say this to the brothers, and I really do mean this from the bottom of my heart. I can't begin to imagine how difficult it is to be suppressed, especially when you have the ability to be who you are, because we are different. You all are different from the Gentile male. You're different from the Asian male. You're different from the African brothers. You're different, period. Your whole makeup is different. Because you all are the ones who reflect what the Most High looks like from a male perspective. And you all are the men that he has chosen to be men for him. However, I can't, and not saying however, I cannot begin to imagine what it is like for you all in this captivity to be suppressed. Because he has to do that. He did that for a particular purpose. You know, Deuteronomy 28 talks about all of the things that we were going to experience in this captivity. You know, and that, you know, that the, all of the psychological things, the physical things we were going to have to deal with, the mental traumas that we would have to, he dealt with all of those things that we as a nation had to deal with because of our disobedience. Because of our disobedience. And, you know, when we had our class yesterday and we were dealing with Isaiah and we were talking about this very thing, you know, when he gave insight as to why, he said, "And who did this to you?" He said, "If anybody, I did it. I'm the one who put you here. I'm the one who was the reason why you're in this captivity." It is a very difficult thing to have to accept, to know that there's another man of another nation that's over you. That's over you. And I mean, you know, and I'm going to say this too, you know, that, yes, there are some people that are, some brothers out here that have made it, so to speak. There are some brothers out here that have educated themselves. There are some brothers out here that have gotten it legally. And, you know, the ability to create and to do the things that, you know, that the Most High, you know, has allowed you to do. But from a nation standpoint, it is very small. The number is very small. It's very small compared to the Gentile nation that's over us, that has been over us for the longest time. It's very small. It's a very small group of people, and they're on top. They are. They're on top. They really are. They're on top. And it's very frustrating for our brothers to know that there's another man over them and on top. However, when you're in this thing, you cannot you have to understand there can't be two nations in control. There can't be two men in control. It's just like two women. Two women cannot survive in the same household and be in charge at the same time. There's a conflict. There's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a power struggle. There's going to be. And I can't begin to imagine what that feels like. You make less than everybody else do. I mean, some of y'all make some good money, but when it comes to compare to a lot of these people and these other nations, you make less money. But the one thing about us and the resilient part about our nation is that we know how to survive. We can make lemonade out of lemon peels if necessary. And we've done that. So I want to say that first. I can't begin to imagine what that feels like. So this is not a smear campaign on our black brothers, believe me, under no circumstances, because when I found out who I was, my whole mentality changed. I said, I will never, ever look at them the same way. I will never, ever treat them like they're less than ever again. I don't care who you are. Never will I ever do that, because now I understand from a different standpoint what happened. So let me say that first. We are living, again, we're living in the land of our captivity. We have done the things that we have done, and the Most High has put us in a situation where, you know, we are under the control of the Gentile population all over the world. We scattered all over the world, and I get that. I do. I get it. I understand. I can't begin to understand what you feel, but let me tell you what we see from a female perspective. And I have a lot of the women here on the Women's Call that I asked them to be here today so that we could begin to talk about this very thing, because we talked about this very thing on Tuesday night. And I said, we need to bring this on Sunday. This has to be brought up. And I meant what I said earlier about the brothers, the wolves in sheep clothing. We're not talking about you, because, see, you have a whole other agenda. And I'm going to tell you this, the Most High is going to deal with you. He's going to deal with you. I don't care how much you justify what you do in the word and what you say. He knows the intent of your heart, and he's going to deal with you. We're not talking about y'all. We're talking about the other brothers that are really out there trying. And some of the ones who stopped trying because they have just given up. We're talking about them. Let me tell you what it feels like from a female perspective. And what I see that they have done from a female perspective. You know, this was a twofold plan. I believe that what the devil meant for evil, Yah turned it around for good. So instead of allowing the man to become the breadwinner of the family and putting him in charge, because you would never be in charge over them. You would never even be a threat to them. He gave it to the woman. He allowed the woman to excel. And I've said this many times. You know, we were given it, and that was their goal was to make you feel inferior. That was the goal. I mean, it was real honest. That was the true and honest goal. It had different forms and different sides to it, but the goal was to make you feel like you were inferior by putting you beneath your female, by giving her the opportunities that was not afforded to you all as a whole. Like I said, there are some brothers that's making some serious money. But when you talk about a whole nation of brothers, no, it's not happening. So the female was put in above you to make you feel inferior. But from Yah's perspective, the female was given that ability to preserve a nation. Because you guys got to be honest. Now, then, like I said, this is going to be kind of rough. You know, you guys got to be honest, because a lot of us have been raised by one-parent homes. You know, some of us have had the privilege of having two-parent homes, and we've seen a lot. But let me tell you what I mean by that. And I'm going to deal with what he said about y'all heard us and this and that and the other. Brother Yerushalayim said something one day on this call. He said, you can take a young girl, never left her parents' home, very sweet, very honest, and come out into the world for the first time looking for love. She's looking for love. She's believing the fairy tale. And then she runs into one of the brothers that just completely dogs her. He's not interested in a relationship. He's not interested in loving her. He's not interested in being honest. He want to be a player. So he in the street playing. And she just happens to be a victim. Now, let me tell you what happens. She gets pregnant. Maybe, you know, she gets pregnant by two, three different brothers. Two, three different men tell the same story. And they treat her, you know, nobody gets dressed up to get dogged. And nobody, I don't know a woman on this planet that put eyelashes on and makeup on and get dressed up and put lace front weave on or whatever they be wearing and fingernails to go out in the street to get dogged. Everybody has an expectation of wanting to find something different. Everybody does. A woman does anyway. So she goes out and she meets brother number two. Brother number two, sweet, he's talking sweet nothings. You know that pillow talk stuff. You know, she falling for it. Maybe this is the real one this time. Maybe I can finally let my guard down. And guess what? That's no excuse on her part, because you, even though you got caught the first time, you should know better the second time. That's what a lot of people say. Well, if the first one didn't treat you right, how you get tripped up the second time? Expecting different results. You know, you do the same thing, expecting different results is the definition of madness. I mean, it just is. So she get pregnant the second time. You know, she got two babies now. Say she about 22 years old. She got two babies now that she got to support. She don't abort the baby. She had the baby. She got two babies. You know what that girl will do? That girl will go get a low-income apartment. She'll go get a piece of car. She'll go get a job. She'll go get assistance to get food stamps. She'll go and get assistance to get medical insurance. And she will do what needs to be done to raise them back. Some of them work two jobs. I'm talking about the ones working. I'm going to deal with the ones that ain't working too. But I'm talking about the ones that's working. They'll go do what they need to do. And they'll take care of whatever they need to take care of. Now, the question that came up, the issue that came up in the women's call was, and I'm going to ask this question to the brothers, and I want you to be 100% honest. How many of you out there, and I'm talking to the ones out there, how many of you out there have ever had your own place? That have ever had your own apartment? And you ain't got to answer to me. Because you know the truth, and the Most High know the truth. How many of you out there have ever lived on your own and had your own apartment and your own car and had a job and took care of yourself before you moved in with a woman? I want to know. I see y'all pushing one. Oh, the hands done went up. How many? Because most of the time, you moving from what we call them, hobosexuals. They moving from one house to the next house, to the next house, to the next house, to the next house. But it's the woman's fault. The moment she take you downtown to child support, because you ain't nowhere around, you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, you know, and I'm going to say something to y'all, to us women. Stop creating these boys that don't know how to take care of business. Stop dressing, pooking them up, and putting on Chanel and Fendi and Louis Vuitton and all the other mess they be wearing in these streets to dress up for somebody that don't know how to take care of business. They've never paid a bill on their own. They've never took care of themselves on their own unless somebody's done it for them. So they leave your house where you done cooked and cleaned and did all the stuff for them. And they sitting at your house playing video games. They leave your house going into the world because she's beautiful or she's pretty. And you know what they end up doing? They end up making a mess. Oh, the hands is going up today, boy. I'm telling y'all, I see all y'all. Oh, the hands is popping up. How many brothers have started out on their own from their mama's house? Let me go get my own place. I'm going to go get me a little piece of car. I'm going to get me a job. Most of the time it's excuses where the white man won't let us and the white man won't let us do this. That has nothing to do with you getting your own spot. I got a granddaughter right now. She's 24 years old. She got her own apartment. She don't have no kids. She got her own car. She go to work every day, and then she meet these little jokers out in the street that's in the clubs. In their 20s. Want to move in. But guess what? We supposed to let you lead. You ain't in a position to lead nobody. Because you didn't start. Man, listen, I'm telling you, I've seen these women get out here, and then guess what y'all do? Y'all dog us. You know why? They dog us because they feeling inferior. You know why? Because they don't have what the woman had. Well, she worked. I'm the head of the household. You have to learn how to be that. Yeah, you get mad at her because she got more than you. It don't make no sense. I mean, for we are saying our nation is truly in a serious situation. And then you're going to call us, what do you call us? Mean and nasty and evil. And really? Really? Because we hurt you. No, you wasn't what you wasn't for doing what you were supposed to be doing. Because we took care of you. If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't ate. Now, that's in not every case. You know, that's not every case. But I'm talking about from a majority standpoint. From a majority standpoint, half of them leave their parents' house and don't know how to, they don't have a checking account. They don't know how to pay a utility bill. They don't know how to get a credit report and pull a credit report. I mean, these are the things, man. Listen, let me open up the mic. I can keep on talking. Area code 478, your mic is open. You're on the air. Brother, you're rocking. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And I had all my own stuff before I come, and I thank y'all for my mother and my father because they told me point blank, period, before you even think about having a baby or getting in a relationship, you need to provide your own. I came from an old school family, and my granddaddy and my daddy both, they stressed it, that a woman's supposed to come into your home, not you go into her home. And that was stressed to me. And that's the same thing I stressed to my son. He has his own job, has his own car, and getting ready to buy a house before he even get into that. That has to be stressed from a male baby. That's why you got to have both. Because you ain't trying to, some young boys, they ain't trying to hear nothing what their mama talking about. They ain't hearing that, and they don't get that example of what a father and what a mother, I mean, how a father and a husband is, unless they round another male. They're too busy, like you said, playing video games. But I had my own. I had my own house. I had my own car. I had my own job. Paying my own bills, doing my own stuff, and then I was ready to get involved into a relationship. But before that, I'm talking about from a young age. I'm talking about from my 20s. I ain't never moved in with no woman. I ain't had to.
You a rare case. I'm going to say that. Let me say this too. Let me say this from a perspective from a divorced mother that raised boys. All of my boys had their own stuff. Wasn't no man around to show him nothing. I told him that. In order for you to get out there and survive, you're going to have to take care of your family. In order for you to know what that's like, you're going to have your own place. So it don't always have to be a mother and a father. I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to tell you from experience from the boys in this family over here, they was raised to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
So I commend your mother and father, but I'm going to tell you, even from a single mother standpoint, mine was raised to take care of themselves and to take care of their families. And they doing that to this day. To this day.
Well,
but
that's
got to
be with a parent thing, because I just couldn't do it. See, no way. They told me point blank, period, you better learn how to cook and feed yourself. You better learn how to wash and clean your own clothes. Better learn how to clean your own house. You don't need nobody to do that. And I do that. I've done that all my life. That's what I do with my son. But it's just most of us, like I said before, we too busy playing games. And when you start looking from a male perspective out on the street, when you growing up as a young teenager, thing that's put in your head as a young teenage male, you got to get it. You know what I'm talking about. You got to get it. And that's all you thinking about, getting it. And then when you do get it, you so happy about getting it that you just continue and continue on. You live your whole life trying to get back into something that you came out of.
I agree. I completely agree. And 90%, and I'm being generous when I say 90%, I see you, area code 276 and 717, 90% of them have not had their own place ever. They riding on the passenger side of some woman's car, slumped down in the seat.
That's embarrassing. 90%. I'm just saying from a male perspective, that's embarrassing. For me, that would be kind of embarrassing.
to invite some woman over to my house. Can't even invite her to the house because I don't have one. Always got to go somewhere with her. But have I seen that? Yes, Sophia, I've seen it. You know, I know somebody that was involved in one of those relationships. The dude didn't work. She paid the bills. She do the cooking. She do the cleaning. He's sitting in the house. That was one of the worst things I ever seen in my life.
And it's so much of it. And this is the resentment. And I'm going to say something to you. One of the sisters said something in the women's call, and I wish she would say it herself, but I wish you would push one, because she said something in the woman's call that was so profound. She said it was so profound. It rang out. She said, at 614, I wish you would say it, because I don't even want to say it. I want her to say it. Let me open up the mic. Area code 276, your mic is open. You're on the air.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking my area code. This is my wife's. The thing is that it's how these men are raised. That's all there is to it. If he's raised by a single mother, mothers tend to love their sons and raise their daughters. And fathers tend to love their daughters and raise their sons.
That's true.
Hopefully, if he is a good man, he will do that. And the thing is that men have to care about their wives, their wives' well-being, how they're feeling. I mean, if I was to wake up every morning and was grumpy to my wife, I don't think she would want to live with me. Because when I was in the military, I would wake up grumpy. I'd be mad because I'm around a bunch of dudes, you know, and if I'm on a Westpac, that's 6 months. And I don't want to be there in the first place. And then not seeing women until I get to the port, you know, that's, boy, I tell you, it's crazy. But I don't do that to my wife. I don't wake up grumpy towards her. I'm always smiling, always kissing upon her, always touching her, making sure that she's okay, even when she's sleeping. And I'm sleeping, and it's at 4 o'clock in the morning, kissing up on her, letting her know that I'm right here. And washing dishes, I'll do that. I'll clean up the house. I may not clean it to the exact way that she does it, but I try to do the best that I can. And same thing for washing clothes and even cooking. I'm not the greatest cook, but I try. But I appreciate the things that she does, the cooking, the cleaning, making sure that the house is straight. She has my back. That's my Rio. I don't know what y'all know what a Rio is. That's a radar intercept officer on an airplane. But anyway, what I'm saying is that we're supposed to love our wives, and women are supposed to respect us. And the only way that they'll get to respect us is that when we love them. When we love them, when we show them, they'll open up just like a beautiful flower. Because they get the rain and they get the sunshine. And they'll open right on up. And rain is good, y'all. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Shalom, shalom. Thank you for your comment. This is the issue. And let me say this. And I guess she ain't going to say it, so I'm going to say it for her. She said something in the class that was so profound. She said, you know, the very thing that we deal with, the very thing that we're held to the fire for, is the very thing that they applaud the woman of the other nation for. She said, now, we can climb the corporate ladder. Matter of fact, let me find where he said that at. Let me go back again because I want to make sure I get it. I want to make sure you say it. Hold on.
And you are not applauded for your femininity. You are applauded in the contemporary society by how tough, rough, nasty, mean, aggressive, hateful, possessive you are, and you are climbing the corporate ladder, but we are losing our families.
Now, this is what what she said. She said, now, we're held to the fire for that. She said, but the white woman, oh, I'm going to mess with y'all today. I'm saying. She said the white woman will have the very same thing. She'll climb the corporate ladder. She'll have her own house. She'll have her own car. She'll have her own everything. And she is being applauded because she has those things. But for us, the black woman that has that, we're being resented. And you know why we're being resented? Because it makes the black man feel inferior. It makes you feel like you're not the head of the house. It makes you feel like you're not the head of your family. But they don't meet a white woman out in the street to have the very same thing and then go and be with her and everything's wonderful. They will. And we have to understand. And let me say something to the women. It is very degrading when you try to make a man feel belittled, because that's not what family is supposed to be. Everybody is supposed to work together for the cause of the family. And when I say teamwork, make the dream work, that's exactly what I mean. It doesn't, the places are the same. Yes, he's supposed to be over the woman, the man, y'all supposed to be over him, and then he's supposed to be over the woman, and then the children, and so forth. But everybody has to work together. That's what makes it beautiful. But it's always a problem when the man don't make as much money as the woman. Problem. It is an issue. And this whole thing about black women need to be quiet and black women are too aggressive and black women is this and black women act like that. This is coming from our own men. We didn't put us in the curse. We didn't put us here. And if nothing happens by chance, which we teach all the time in our classes, the Most High knew this was the way it was going to be because this is how he set it up. And yes, do they get arrogant because they making six figures and you ain't making but 30,000 and 40,000 a year? Yeah, they get high minded. Do they get puffed up? I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. And that's where, you know, we have to come into terms with what's going on. Because when you are part of this nation and you know what we've gone through and you know why we're going through this thing, this shouldn't be an issue. We should be the example of how this thing works. But you know what we get instead? We still get the Hebrew brothers doing the same thing. Y'all black women need to shut your mouth and get somewhere and sit down. You ain't got nothing to say. It's our turn now. You know what that sounds like? That sounds like bitterness and resentment. But that same woman that worked those three jobs stared at you to get you where you are today. You can't change the curse. You can't change the fact that we're still in captivity. You can't change none of that. But you can't take it out on us either. I'm not talking about the ones that's not conscious. I'm talking about the ones that's conscious now today. I'm sick of it. It is what it is. We had to do this, and they still allowing us to do it today. And like he said, we need to raise our sons to be more self-sufficient. But you know what the brothers that I'm seeing today, I'm scared because y'all raising them to be bitter. You raising them to be mad. Don't nobody want to marry you. I'm just going to be honest. Nobody wants to be with you. All these old makeshift marriages in the living room so you can walk to the bedroom and have sex so you say legally, spiritually. Don't nobody want that. And these girls out here getting it. I mean, they getting out here and getting it. Are there some that's not? What about the sisters that's on welfare? Yeah, it's some sisters that's been on welfare, that's on welfare doing what they need to do. Absolutely. They got 5 and 6 kids. They went through this 5 and 6 times. Yeah, they do. And they out there. Yes, they are. But even the way they got the law set up now, you can't lay on welfare no more. You got to go get a job. They don't even let you do that no more. You got to go find a job. But it's resentment. It's unwarranted resentment because of the captivity. You can't be over the white man. He ain't going to let you do that. He ain't going to let you be and make the money he made. Like I said, it's some, very few. But he ain't going to let you make that kind of money because it can only be one nation in charge at a time. It's not really can be. But if you were smart, okay, well, just like the brother just said, if you were smart, you'd know what to do. Because I don't know how you expect us to act like Becky. We can only be a reflection of the man that we came from. I'm just going to be honest. I'm talking to you from a woman's standpoint now. I'm going to talk to you like I have never talked before. You can't expect us to be Becky. Because Becky is a reflection of the man that she came from. She is. Becky was designed for her man, just like we was designed for our men. And you better thank God we strong because we got that strength from you. Because if we wasn't, this nation would have been through. I asked the brother that when I first came in the scene. I said, how do you expect us to be like Becky? When we look at the black man is strong. He's self-willed. He got a mind that if he ever is unleashed, there would be no stopping him. He is the image of Yah. Powerful, aggressive. And then we are taken from you. We are part of your rib, and we have the same quality just from a female standpoint. But you jealous of us, and you hate us, and you resent us because the Most High allowed it to be us, the one that was able to get the job so we could take care of the nation. How'd that work? But like I said, if you took some advice from this brother that just said, that's all I got to say. If you knew how to love me, it wouldn't be nothing you could have. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be honest with you. If you knew what to do and you knew how to do what you were supposed to do, it wouldn't be nothing we couldn't do together. It wouldn't be nothing. But you know why it's such a battle? Because it's always a war because of jealousy. And you're going to have to repent for that. It's always, if you knew how to love me, we could make it happen together. But like it's like Brother Jeff Rochelam say, everybody in the street playing. You want to play. He talking about it, that we lose in the family. No, we lose in the family because our men have an issue. And when you stop having the issue, and I'm talking about the women that's willing to work together. I'm not talking about the ones that's not, because we got to work on our young women. We do. But you know what? We got to get them before them wolves get them. Because once them wolves get them, they taint them. And then we got to walk them back from all that pain and all that hatred and all that hurt and all that before we can even talk to them and penetrate them and say, look, we know it happened. We understand it happened. But let's move past it happening. Let's try to, there's somebody out there for you. You got to know how. It's a reason why the Most High put the male and the female together. It's a reason why. There's a thing that attracts us to you, and there's that femininity that attracts you us to you, and you to us. That's how this works. Don't nobody want you standing up calling us idiots and loud mouths and all. And, that ain't never. I hope you get it. It ain't going to never change anything. It's never going to change anything. But when you learn how to love me, Listen, it ain't nothing we can't do. It ain't nothing we can't do. It's nothing we cannot achieve together. There's nothing that we can't have together. But when we come on the scene and it's some arrogance going on and it's some hatred going on, we can feel it. We can feel it. I want you to listen to this interview that this black girl does interviews with black women. And I want you to listen to, she said she asked the question that men ask. And I thought this was very interesting, but I want you to listen to the interview. We're only going to listen to a little bit of it, but here, but check this out.
Yes, ma'am. So why did you think about marriage before you had your three children?
What's good, everybody? It's your boy, O'Shea Dick Jackson.
Back. Let me move forward.
You have bad light, but I thought you got better light. Did you turn around?
Hold on just a second. I want to make sure.
She don't look too bad.
Okay, let's see what this is. See, yeah.
She got that weave going on and everything, baby. Okay, I see you.
I've been trying to explain to y'all every night life and why y'all should have good life because you can see yourself better. That's so much better. So, say your name for me. Tasia?
Tasia.
Tasia. Tasia, South Carolina. How old are you?
29.
You have any kids?
Yeah. I have three children.
Three children. How old are your kids? Three children. What kind of man are you looking for?
I'm preferably looking for someone in the ages of 35 to 40, mature, God-fearing, very family-oriented. I don't, well, business-oriented. Sorry, Mike.
You hear the kids in the background tearing up shit? Y'all hear that?
Sorry, my son is at the door.
No, that's your kids at the door. That's what it was. I heard it. Your kids.
Has a head on their shoulders, someone who knows in which direction that they want to go in, a leader.
If they had their head on their shoulders, they ain't going to deal with you. They're gonna run from you. This is a bad situation, baby. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't say I need him to be extremely wealthy, but financially independent, and just driven.
Okay. What's the deal breakers for you?
Dishonesty, I would say. No drive, no motivation, non-compromising, and he has to be Christian. I don't want any other religion.
Okay, he has to be Christian?
Yeah.
Have you always practiced Christianity?
No.
When did you start?
Well, I started as a child, then I converted to Islam. Didn't work out for me, and as an adult, I made the transition back to being Christian.
Okay.
So you cheating on God with Muhammad and Jesus. You just don't. I mean, and this is the.
Hold on, man.
Stand out.
I'm on.
Uh-oh, hold on.
So are you following the principles right now? Like, are you not having sex to marriage?
Yes, ma'am.
So how long have you been celibate for?
About a month. Don't judge me. I know.
Okay, so here's the situation. This sister got three babies. She got two baby daddies, and now she's in Christianity, and she's saved, and now she wants a decent brother to come into her house and to help her with her children and to create a family with her. My question is that too much to ask? Brother Yerushalayim, you up.
You know, I was just chomping at the bit to get in there too. When you said, and I just want to tell you like this, and I'm telling you this from experience, not because of what I know, but from experience, that is a lot to ask for. A lot of women with children, you don't understand that baby daddy drama. It's a terrible place. It's a terrible place to be as a man. Because men got, especially when you're a strong man, you got your own stuff. I don't have a problem with dating a woman that had kids and loving on them children and taking care of them children as if they were my own. But that creates issues. Because now you got some other joker out there. He mad about this. He upset about this. Don't do this. And that ain't your daddy and all that. I don't care about being called daddy or none of that stuff, but then you have all these other issues. That's a lot going on. And, I've advised myself, if at all possible, any way possible, if you get serious with somebody, find somebody like yourself with no children, because that's a lot of stuff going on. If you do find somebody and they got children, make sure you really look into the situation and what's going on before you even think about going there, because it gets ugly and it's a bad thing for the child, you know, because now just because some brothers, they don't show up, and I'm being real, they don't show up until another man show up. They won't show up for their own children. They don't even see their own children. Until the woman get another man that's actually doing the right thing, and then is all this drama. Me personally, I love kids. Wish I had about 10 of them. Wish I had about 10, 15 of them. I just love kids. I love being a dad. But it's kind of hard when you got two and three baby daddies that some man got to deal with. I don't have a problem making your life right, but if you want to make your life right and have a situation, then, and this is not going to sound good at all, but I'm going to say it, then close your doggone legs until you get ready to have one. And the man need to keep his stuff in between his legs before he have a family. We need to start having all these babies out of wedlock until we ready to have babies. That's the bottom line.
So let me ask you this question. What do you say to the brothers that got her pregnant? The two brothers that dropped babies and left her, because now she's in a situation now where you heard she asked her, what do you do for a living? She said, I'm a freelance photographer. I'm starting my own company. This is a girl that and she's not a slouch. She's aggressive enough to go out and start her own business. But she's not supposedly wife material because of the past things, because of her children and the stuff that comes with her as a person. So what about the brothers who got her in that position?
Them sorry jokers. I'm gonna put it that way. First of all, they didn't want nothing but what her body. That's all they wanted. Because if you was a man and you really wanted a relationship, you really wanted all this. Then you would have did the right step. Because I do agree with you. If a man knows what he's doing, know how to love a woman, and you love a woman, she gonna always come back. She gonna always be there for you, and things will always work out. But if you still playing these games like a little kid, which apparently they were, then you gonna have these issues. I just think that overall, we need to have as a nation, as a people. We need to have some kind of classes for our young women, young men, teaching us how to do these things and these families, how to be a family, what's expected in a family, before we even go out here and start trying to procreate. You know, that was what's her name, Dr. Frances Cresswell stated, and I quote: "A black man should not father children until they are around 40 years of age." Because before 40 years of age, you're not even mature enough as a black male for what is seen. And that is actually true. If you look around, you are not mature enough and settled enough and responsible enough or have enough, how could I put this, have enough material wealth to take care of children and a woman like you should until you're around about 40. And that's an actual fact. Because most of us start off working in.
But a white man is?
Right now, that wealth equality, we're not mentally ready. I don't care about the white man. I can care less about them. But a black men in general, Pookie and Ray Ray, the way we are at, where we at right now, mentally, financially, we are nowhere near ready to take care of the responsibility of a family. There are some, there are a few, but most of us are not mentally or financially ready to take care of family until we're around the age. That's because all the playing and all the games we do. I mean, come on. This is not a perfect world. Everybody chasing around. We all looking at this physical thing from a physical standpoint. That's both male and female. Female winds up pregnant. The man ain't ready. That choice is on both of them parts. And I say the same thing to my daughter. You don't go around chasing people because of how they look and want to be physical, because there's a lot of repercussions coming behind having children. A lot of repercussions come behind having sex. But we're not ready. We might not want to hear that, and it may sound ugly, because I'm suggesting that we wait till we are more mature before we start fathering children, because it's too many. We got too many. Black people got too many throwaway babies. And I don't mean, when I say throwaway babies, I mean too many babies out there without fathers. There are too many kids out there without fathers. There are too many kids out there, they don't even know their father. Instead of having all these fatherless babies, why don't we got to slow down. We got to stop. I mean, just point blank. And I'm gonna tell you all this as women. This is for every woman on this line. You all can control how this nation goes. Y'all have all the control you want to. Cut it off. They'll stop. Trust me, they'll stop at some point. Yeah, the women gonna have to take charge. which they starting to do. But at some point, just cut it off. No, you ain't getting nothing. Eventually, we'll come around, because I'm telling you, that's all the young men want now. I mean, I hear it all the time. I was in the prison system. I seen it. And I seen it, the results of these fatherless kids. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many kids have I mentored in my life? It's a bunch, a ton. Every woman I do. Matter of fact, we had a conversation the other night, me and a couple of brothers. Every woman I have ever dated outside of one has had children. Every woman that I have dated. And I've dated quite a few women in my life before I got married. And every woman I dated had children. I've dated outside of my race with a woman of another nation twice. One didn't have kids, the other did. But all of the black women I dated, everybody, all of them, they had kids. They all had kids, so I had to love those kids if I wanted to be with them all. And I did try to love those children, but that baby daddy drama, oh, my God. Why that joker sitting around my kids? Who he supposed to be? I'm trying to do the right thing because I do have a strong will. And in my house, I run it like a man's supposed to run. I'm just telling you, Sister Rachel, he tell you that. I'm going to run it like a man running. Well, I make a mistake here and there, yeah, but I have high expectations in you. I don't care what kids come over here. You know who the father is in this house. I set a certain tone. But you have so many things to tiptoe around when you're dealing with all these baby daddies, because it's like it's fights come around that, people getting upset, then the phone call to the mama, and then you get it's a lot of stuff, man. We got as a group, we got to start making better choices. I'm so glad I got a son that I can actually talk to and say, hey, man, don't do this. Look at how life is. This is how I go. Get your stuff together first. And I'm so glad he bought into that. Get your house in order first before you even think about going out here having a family. Get your stuff together. I was broke. Like I said, I grew up an old school man. Hey. My mom used to say it too. A man should have his own house before he get a woman. You should have your own stuff. And to me, that was normal. But I'm listening to you talking about things I see on the street now. Man, you just don't have no job. Yeah. They ride around in a woman car. They sit at home all day. They don't cook. They don't clean. They don't do nothing. They just sit at home all day. When she come home tired, well, I woke some. You want some what?
They want a mama. You know what they want? They want a mama and they want some sex at the same time. They want you to be their mama girlfriend. That's what they want to be. And then when you challenge them, then it's a problem. But let me ask you this question. So the young girl, she's now got herself together. Now she's in church. I see you 717. Now she in church. She's celibate now. Now she's looking for Mr. Somebody. Well, the reality of it is this. If somebody comes into your life, they're going to probably already have kids. If not, a lot of times you got to raise your kids until they get grown, because it is. It's a lot to have to deal with. Let me open up this person's mic because they done did this three times. 717, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Okay. Hold on, just saying. I just need to pull over because I'm driving right now. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm gonna remain anonymous. Shalom, family. I'm gonna just remain anonymous.
Shalom.
He put it in here to talk about it and stuff, but I had just recently got out of a very recent situation like that. Thank the Most High that he took me out of it. So I was married to a leader, like very high in the awakening minister leader. Yeah. So Yeah, so I'll explain more into it. So what happened was he was following along the lines with Sister Ina has been talking about, where he's one of the people, which is, hello, am I on?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'm where I'm at. I'm safe and sound. The Most High had guided me the whole way here. I'm in safety. So I'm with my spiritual mom now. Praise the Most High. I had just got out of a situation where I was with one of those men that take advantage of the young women that come inside of the awakening. Yeah. So what happened was I was talking to him for a long time. He paid for me to go down there and everything. Right. Then
okay, so let me say something. Hold on, sis.
Right?
We can barely
so
hear you. Hold on.
Sis, we
can barely hear you. We can barely hear you.
I did not reach to him for anything else. It was simply I just wanted prayers because I needed the Most High at the moment, because that's the only one I believe who was going to take me through. It was, yeah. Right. And so he was talking about how trying to get him to minister to me, and he was saying that the Most High told him that I was his wife. And I said, what? He said, it's your ruach. Like, the Most High told me that you're my wife. And I'm like, what? I was just confused. I was like, oh, well, I seen your mom in a dream I had, and, you know, the Most High told me everything that happened with you, so with your mom and everything, and I felt like he brought you into my life to be a covering for you. And, I believe that the Most High put you here as to be a covering, brought you into my life to be a covering, like, for me to be your covering. Like, I think I'm supposed to be your husband. And I was, like, so confused. I'm like, oh, well, maybe that's just confirmation from the Most High that, you know, that maybe I am your wife, but I don't know. And so when I got down there, he paid for everything. And mind you, his old wife was still there with her child. She was still down there. And she was still living there. He was saying the most terrible things about her, saying, oh, well, she doesn't take care of me. She don't cook. She don't clean. She's filthy. She's disgusting. I need my wife right now. I need you right now. And I was like, okay. And I went down there, and she left. And I was trying to do my duties as a wife, trying to take care of him, cook, clean. So I was cooking, cleaning, trying to do my part as his wife. And then he wasn't too keen on some of the things that I was doing. But then afterwards, he's like, you know what? He's like, you're a good girl. You're trying to reach for the Most High. I guess I'll marry you. And so what he did, and mind you, in the way, you're supposed to have a witness for when you get married. You know, this was for the girls I don't know. I know Sister Aina had talked about it. You're supposed to have a witness, and people are supposed to know about your marriage. It's not supposed to be a secret. He told me to keep it away from everybody. Don't tell nobody, because they wouldn't understand. That's what he told me. He used the Most High. He said, you're going to lose your blessing if you don't accept this right now. And, like, I love the Most High, so I took that seriously. So I was like, okay, I won't say nothing. And then we got married in his backyard, just me. It was just the two of us. There was no witnesses, no nothing. It was just me, him, and the cloud, because he said that it was supposed to be the husband, the wife, and the Most High in the night. Because that's where stillness is at, and that's where Yah is at. So I respect it, because maybe that was his relationship with him in the Most High. And so prior to that, he told me, he's like, well, I plan on getting another wife. And I said, I'm not too keen on that. I don't like the idea of that. And then he told me I was being selfish
because he said that during these last times and tribulations that seven women are going to cling on to one man for covering because of stuff going to hit the fan. And I didn't talk to anybody. I didn't call nobody about it. And I felt that. I didn't want to be selfish. If these are women that the Most High sent to him to cover, I didn't want to be selfish if that's their covering, too. And he told me, he said, if the Most High sends any other woman, too, that means they're just as special as you are. And I was like, okay. But then he started mistreating me, though. He would shove me. Yeah, after, like, it wasn't, like, literally a week or two after we got married, he shoved me away, like, even shoved me away, put a whole separate room. Was when I left a mess on this, I left a mess for one time on the table, because mind you, he was saying, oh, you need to take care of me, you need to cook for me. So I was taking my break from work. I was working while I was with him, paying bills with him. And I had left a mess there because I was such in a rush trying to make sure he had food in his stomach so that he can eat before going to work. And he came and he was like, there's a mess here. I was like, oh, like, I'm sorry. Like, and he's like, no, he's like, this is disgusting. He grabbed my hand and made me feel the dirt on the table. Now, mind you, this is a granite top table. You can't see it. You literally cannot see dirt or anything unless you really stare at it and was really looking for it. And he's like, I was being lied to. I was lied that I was being taken care of by you. And he made me feel that table, and I was already in tears, crying, that I don't want to feel. He's like, no, you're going to feel this. And he had me grab my hand and shoved it on the counter and rub it against the counter. And I was so upset and everything. And then the Most High, I was in my sleep when I found out he was talking to another. He didn't tell me he was talking to another woman. I wasn't aware, even though he knew I didn't want him to get another wife. I said, if the Most High wants you to get another wife, then so be it, because I'm not going to go against the Most High because I love the Most High. So then I was in my room, and the Most High was telling me, go to your door. And I was reading the Bible, and the Most High was talking about adultery. I was like, what? And he said, go to the door, but do not walk out. And I said, okay. So I went to the door. I didn't walk out. And he was talking really low, like trying to be all smooth, poppy, chulo, talking and everything. So I was like, oh, he's talking to another woman. So I was like crying. I was talking to the Most High because I didn't want to get out of character. Like, yeah, this is what you want. I don't want to be out of order if this is something that you allow, yeah. I was like, I don't want to be like that because this is what he says that is allowed with the awakening. He said, our ancestors did this. Like you're being selfish. I didn't want to be selfish if this is what the Most High allows. So then I went and I confronted him. I didn't tell him I knew about the wife, but I told him, I said, hey, listen, like, you know, if you're going to allow to have another wife, then so be it. I was like, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you or anything. And then he finally confessed to me. Now, mind you, before this, he went and he moved himself to a whole nother room. He separated us. He went to his own room and everything because he said I had demons. And he stopped kissing me. He stopped telling me he loved me. He wouldn't hug me. No, because he said I had demons. He said, you have demons. I can't be talking. You're just disturbing my ruach. You're disturbing my ruach and my shalom. Yeah, she's still there. And then afterwards, then he finally told me, he said, yeah, he's like, I have another voice. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? Yeah. I said, why didn't you tell me? And then afterwards, he said, because the Most High has an appointed time for me to tell things. I was like, but aren't I supposed to know? I'm the first wife. And he's like, don't bring up that first wife stuff with me. That doesn't matter. And then I had confirmed. I was like, so are you going to be, because before when I heard about him getting another wife, I said, well, are you going to be sleeping with her? He said, no, she's just going to be a help me. I don't think I'm going to really be doing that with her and stuff. And I was like, you know, because, like, I understand, like, you know, if this is something okay, I was like, but, like, I don't, at first I told him I was like, okay, well, if it's the Most High's will. And I told him, so I'm getting uncomfortable. I really don't want you to sleep with another woman. Yeah. I said, I'm not comfortable with you sleeping with another woman and stuff. He said, but that's the connection between me and the wife.
I said, well, I'm your wife. You're not even having that connection with me. You're not sleeping with me. He said, I can't sleep with you. You're not ready for that. You have demons. I can't be doing that with you. You need to clear out those demons. Well, if you know I have demons, like you say I do, aren't you supposed to be helping me? Isn't that what you're here for? Aren't you my covering? If you know I have demons, you're supposed to be helping me expel them. That's what is part of about this walk with the Most High. And I told her about it, and I was like, I'm not comfortable with it. And he said, no, this is the connection between me and my other wife. And I said, okay. I said, well, can you at least let me know? And he gave me a dirty look. I said, I get it. That's none of my business. He's like, yeah, you're right. It is none of your business what I do with my other wife. I was like, okay. I let it go, walked away, and then afterwards, she moved in, she came, moved in, and I was like, y'all, you know, if this is your will, I'll go buy her stuff. I went, bought her shampoo, I bought her, hair stuff, I bought her a brush, I bought her everything to take care of herself, because when I went there, I didn't have nothing, and I didn't want her to go through the same thing. So I had a little goodie bag. I was like, here, you can give this to her. He's like, why don't you give it to her? I was like, no. I was like, you give this guy. I don't want to be the one that has to give that to her. And she came up to me. She introduced herself. She's like, hi, it's so nice to meet you. And I was like, yeah, it's nice to meet you too. And so I went and I did my part. The Most High said, do not say anything. Just do your part. You know, do as much as you can. And then you need to leave. You need to leave because that's not right. And like, I wasn't saying anything because he's telling me not to say anything, but he's using the Most High. And I think that's what a lot of women are going through. Stop. Like, this is what our ancestors did before, where they got these multiple wives. I'm sure Sister Aina has talked about this. They're using the Most High, and it's disgusting. These men are using the Most High for them to go after their nasty demons that they're dealing with lust and everything, to pervert our women that are trying to seek the Most High. And some of these women don't know because the men are using the Most High as their little pistol whip for them to do what they want. And it's not fair. So I went, did what I was supposed to do, and he don't know I left. He still don't know. I still didn't tell him about it. Mm-hmm. Yep. He didn't call me. He didn't say nothing. And he had stopped talking to me after she came. He stopped eating my food when she came. Yep. And he went. Yep. He went and she slept in his room. I was in my own room. She was with him and everything. Yeah. They wouldn't talk to me or nothing. I wasn't allowed in their area or nothing. I still did my part. I still clean. I still cook. And I relied on the Most High at that moment because the Most High was the one that took me out. Nobody else did but the Most High. I couldn't call my family. I couldn't tell her because he wouldn't let me. And the Most High put me to a point where I had no choice but to tell somebody about it because I was at work crying, upset. And I finally told somebody about it, and I got out of this situation because the Most High got me out of that situation. Nobody else. But I leaned and cried on the Most High.
Hallelujah. Praise Him. Now, how much older was he than you?
57. He's around, he's like 55, 57.
And how old are you?
I'm 21.
Listen to this. He's 57 years old, and she's 21. And these brothers are manipulating these young women. I'm telling y'all, listen, these are the people that are giving the Most High a bad name. Look, yeah. I praise y'all. You got out of it. All praises to the Most High, y'all, that you're no longer in that anymore. Because anytime you have to be lied to, anytime you're being manipulated, anytime they're telling you to keep things secret, anytime they're doing those, that is not the Most High. That is not love. That is not the Ruach. And these are the things that you heard it straight from somebody that just came through it.
Yeah, I'm just I listened to that, and I'm glad the sister got out of that too. But I saw a lot of red flags just from the start when she was talking about, you know, this brother, and, you know, he's supposed to be a leader. So apparently this is somebody who teaches. And then I'm listening to the scripture that he used to say that to her, which is in the book of Isaiah, where it talks about seven women going to take hold of one man. Good Lord, man. That ain't even supposed to even happen until after we leave here, reestablishing that. And it ain't for no sexual purposes or none of that stuff anyway. It is as a covering so that the women can go, take away the reproach so that these women can go before the Most High themselves. It ain't has nothing to do with none of all that stuff he's doing. This is somebody who manipulates scriptures, somebody who manipulates people. So, I mean, he's 56, 57 years old. My son, I'm that age. My son is 21 years old. And I'm sitting here going, good Lord. I mean, this is crazy. And then what he's talking about, he's getting a second wife. Does he have a second house? He should have been asked that question. Do you have a second home? Do you make enough income where they don't have to work and you take and provide for them since you want to go strictly by the scriptures? Can you provide for the both of them? No, you can't.
Nope.
That's
brother,
bad.
Brother, you're Rashbam. Brother, oh my gosh, his name always slips my mind. What is, you know who I'm talking to. These are the things that these young women are going through because of the predators that are in this nation. I'm telling you. These are the predators that these women are dealing with. These young girls, they, like I said, they ain't even trying to meet with nobody their own age. These are babies that this is happening to. So this got to be put out and brought out there so you are made aware of what's going on and be able to teach your girl. Don't let nobody manipulate you with scriptures. Anytime you got to lie and you got to sneak, that is not Yah. It's not Yah. It's just not. So, I'm thank you so much for your testimony. I really do appreciate you being honest today and putting that on the record, because believe it or not, it's some women right now that are in those relationships that they know it's not right, and they're being held and manipulated by his word because of the lust of the flesh. And these brothers is dealing with the lust of the flesh, and they're using y'all's word to manipulate and coerce and to make you feel obligated because of his word, and the Most High going to get y'all for that. He going to get y'all for that. He is, because you giving a whole nation a bad name. You are. This 21-year-old girl could not, ain't no way you could take on a 57-year-old man mentally. No way. And he knew that. So all praises be to the Most High that you made it out, you know, and we will be able to pray, continue to pray that Yah, you know, covers you and that you'll be all right and you don't have to expose his name and you don't have to tell what group he's from, because he knows who he is. He knows who he is and what he's done. But the Most High going to deal with that. He's going to deal with that himself. We're running up on the last end of this show, and we went over, you know, we usually go over, and we can go until 6 o'clock, but I don't want to push the issue. I think that we have talked about a lot of things. We have dealt with a lot of things, and this is a serious situation in our nation, period, with our black men. We have got to stop vilifying each other. We have got to stop being angry toward each other. We have got to stop being jealous of each other, and we have to start working together. That's the only way it's going to work. Let me tell you about the black woman. You are not going to get the black woman to even work with you as long as you're abusive and nasty. It's not going to work. It's not, because it wouldn't work with you. So if we are a reflection of you, you're going to have to learn, like the brother said, you're going to have to learn how to love us. And we're going to have to learn how to love you. And if that's the only way that this is going to work, teamwork makes the dream work. And it's not saying that everybody's equal, but it's saying that everybody's there on their own will and their own accord. And if she allows you to be head over her, if that's what she allows you to do. You have to be qualified to be able to do that. That doesn't mean you're her father. That just means you're her husband. And you have to be qualified to be her husband.
Sister Aina, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So, am I under y'all and stuff, like, even though, like, all that stuff happened, like, am I still, like, considered, like, his wife and stuff like that?
No, you're not his wife. No. You're not his wife. No, you're not. And all these old backyard marriages and living room marriage, no, honey. You know what? You know why they do that? They do that so they don't have to be legally obligated to you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Yerushalayim, will you let her know that?
Yeah, that's a fact. No, you're not his wife. Never was his wife. He just did that out of manipulation. That was just lust of the flesh, like you said earlier. That is not right. And if I could tell you one thing from coming from a male perspective, if it don't feel right, if you have any doubt about it, then it ain't right. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, if you have the Ruach, it's going to let you know right from wrong. And if you start having no feelings that this ain't right, that ain't right, no, don't mean trust it. Don't mean fool with it. Be patient.
Yeah.
That's what I would tell you. Be patient. For the Most High, I'll send you that person. When they start talking about scriptures, dealing with relationships, run, because now you're getting into manipulation. Because that's not what it's about right now. Right now is about repenting on our part. Turn in the face and love him. You got to have a relationship with him first. Turn and love the Most High first and trust in the Holy Spirit. It'll guide you in all truth and wisdom. I have a wife. And before I met my wife, I prayed to the Most High about finding a wife. And I got one. She's younger than me, not young like you, but she's younger. But we've been together. We had a couple of little issues, but we work together. We live together. Everything we do is together. Ain't about no other women. Ain't about no other men. It's the two of us. A man cannot love if he can't love himself. If we supposed to love our brothers as we love ourselves, that means love our brothers and sisters as we love ourselves. Then it'll be a reflection in how he treats you. He would love you just like he loves himself. And if my wife were here right now, she'd tell you that. Any man that care about you at all, in the least little bit, you're going to know because you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you heard that straight from a man. So, no. You're not married to him. And guess what? Let me say this to the women that are out there. When we were in our land and we had our own culture and we had our own laws, we were married under our laws. The scripture tells you to obey the laws of the land. And if you're not legally married to them, all that, we don't want to do it like the white man do it, and we just want to do it like y'all say do it, that's an excuse so they don't have to be obligated. If you are his wife, it would be on record downtown with the clerk of court that you all have a marriage license and you are legally his wife. So, no, standing up in the backyard in the dark with you and him, that's not a wedding ceremony. No, you're not married to him. And until you do it legally, you're not married to him. So all these makeshift marriages and all this stuff, that's not marriage. You have to legally marry them in order to have a wife. And we have to obey the laws of the land. And that's why they do that, because they want more than one. They want more than one sexual partner. So they use the scriptures to be able to do that. And if they don't marry anybody legally, you got a whole mirage of women in there that you can pick from the screw when you feel like it.
Yep,
and everybody's
exactly
free because they feel like it's Yah.
And one last thing I want to add in there. Whenever somebody separates you from your family, man, that's the biggest red flag. They don't want you around your family, because even if a man wants to talk to you and date you on a serious level and wants to get to know you, he going to want to know something about you, and he going to want to know something about your family. If he don't want to know nothing about your family, he don't want to, man, no. No. Because that's one of the first things. I want to meet your mama. I want to meet your dad. I want to meet your brothers. I want to meet your sister. I want to see what you're about. They don't want to do that stuff. That's another issue. Don't mean fool with it. Anybody that try to isolate you from your family, they dead wrong, regardless of who your family are.
Right now, you heard it straight from a man. Now, before we leave, and we're getting ready to leave here in a minute, Brother Rosalind, I want you, if you wouldn't mind, pray for her. Also, pray for Sister Natanya and Sister Sanaya's brother. He's very ill. They told us yesterday, and it slipped my mind. If you would say a prayer for them, and you know, for all of you all who have lost family members, and you know, the Trump family, and the, I think Ivana Trump passed away. We're sorry for your loss, people. We're really sorry for your loss. If you would lead us in prayer, I would really appreciate it.
Sister Aina, I have a question before we start.
Yes, ma'am.
He was also the same one that baptized me inside of the ocean. Like, am I considered, like, baptized by Yah? Like, that was just another thing I have a question about.
Well, we'll talk about that off camera, but yeah, you know, we'll talk about that off camera, but you good.
Okay.
You all right. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay,
you know?
Thank you.
All right. All right, whenever you're ready, Brother Yerushalayim.
Yes, ma'am. All praises to the Most High, Yah. Blessed be your name, O Holy Father. Blessed be you, Yahweh, the Ancient of Days. May you and your name endure forevermore. May all praise, glory, peace, honor, and power go to you. I pray, Father Yah, that you hear the voices of your people today. I want you to I pray that you touch the hearts of those who have been hurt, those who are downtrodden, those of our nation that have been abused, even if it's by people of our nation. Touch their hearts and pour out your Holy Spirit into them so their minds can be at ease, so that they can be at peace. We pray today for this young sister, that you show her what love is through your sight, that you give her comfort, give her peace of mind, and help her to be away from the evils and the things that we do as a people. We pray for the other two sisters, Sister Natanya and Sister Sanaya, for death in their family. We pray that you ease and heal them and be a comfort unto them. We thank you for everything, Father Yah. But first and foremost, we say we love you. We strive to be with you. We strive to do the right thing, and we pray for forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. And we say, blessed be your holy name, and thank you for everything and all things that you've given and provided. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I don't think their brother has passed away. I think he's just ill.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's just ill, but
whew. Okay.
I think this has been a very good show. Thank you to all the brothers and the sisters who spoke on this show. I hope that we have clarified some things and put some things in proper perspective, and that you all understand how serious this thing is over here in Israel. And the same devil that was running with us when we was in the other things, he's still over here too. You know, that same predator spirit is over here too. You know, it's still here. And to the women, be encouraged. Love yourself. Love your children. Love yourself, love your children, and love Yah, and trust in him. And he will send you the person in your life that he wants in your life that's going to love you. You know, the abuse, the verbal abuse, the mental abuse, the physical abuse, and all the abuses, the psychological abuse, that's not love. That's not, we don't want that kind of love. That's not love. And in the meantime, we have to get ourselves together as well, and we have to learn how to love our men. And when we can do that thing, boy, what an example we'll be to the rest of the nation. We have to love each other. We have to cultivate each other, and we have to support each other both spiritually, physically, and mentally. And when we can do that, we'll be able to show that the example that Yah wants in the earth. And on that note, we won't say any more. I think we've said enough. You guys have a wonderful rest of your week. Don't forget the women's call on every Tuesday night. The phone number is 712-770-4066. Let me say it again, 712-770-4066. And the access code is 154-102-POUND. 154-102-POUND. Every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on that note, shalom, shalom, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Good night, everybody.